Israel. We have the introduction to that today. This is crucial for Paul. Because, you see, his opponents are saying, what you're saying is God's changed his mind. We have a whole new way, whole new way of life ordered by God in Jesus. And so the old one is out. Well, how do we know how long the new one's going to last? Is God that fickle? It's a strong argument. And so these next three chapters are to establish the beauty and the consistency of the plan of God for Israel, his firstborn. Then, starting in chapter 12 and going to the end at 16, there are these moral exhortations to the people in Rome and to us, based on everything he's taught up to that point. So this is a very complex set of arguments that follow. We're not going to read much of it. And you kind of got to know the whole Jewish way of understanding scriptures in order to follow the argument. It's a tough argument. But it's key for Paul. And he's been enlightened by the Holy Spirit in order to conduct this study, this argument. But today we only have the first part of it. You just heard it. Brothers and sisters, I speak the truth in Christ. I do not lie. My conscience joins with the Holy Spirit in bearing me witness that I have great sorrow and anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my own people, my kindred, according to the flesh. You see the power of Paul's love? You see that love he has for Jesus, for his own people, and for all the world. He spent himself, you can read the litany of his sufferings in the letter to the Corinthians, especially the second one. Shipwrecked 3 times, a day and a night in the middle of the sea, beaten, betrayed, stoned, left for dead. And on top of all these, my care for all the churches. So that's Paul. So now he says, for the sake of my own people, my kindred, according to the flesh, because his kindred, according to the Spirit, are all those baptized and all those he evangelizes and brings into union with Christ. Now he's trying to tell, remember he's writing to Rome, where there's some tension between the Gentile believers and the Jewish believers. They are the children of Israel. Israel. That's Jacob. There's the adoption. They are the children of God. When Moses goes to Pharaoh, he's told, you see, I am going to set my son free, my people. See, the glory, the kavod, the presence of God, the saving presence of God, the wonder, the kavod, the glory. And finally, that glory is Christ, the radiant saving presence of God. But the kavod, the covenants, God spoke to them, made covenants with them. The giving of the law. What a blessed thing. God himself instructed his people how they were supposed to live. The worship, whole cult, all directed to one true God. Who instructed them? Moses. What light that Moses must have had to start and establish the rudiments of their life of worship. That hadn't happened within 10 years of the experience of Sinai. They would have all been pagans again. You need a life of worship. And one of the things we discover quickly, I think, in the renewal is, without liturgy, the renewal doesn't grow. It's that simple. Okay. The promises. All the promise. Theirs. Theirs the patriarchs. And from them, according to the flesh, is the Christ himself, who is over all, God blessed forever. And the translators left it. Does he mean Christ, who over all, God blessed forever? Or does he mean, who is Christ, who is over all, may God be blessed forever? The text, probably on purpose, is left ambiguous. It'd be worth taking this text today and meditating on it. And then realize, you see, that this is a very painful situation. The Jews stand there suffering and watch all the Gentiles enter the fullness, unimaginable, infinitely great promise. And they can't get in. Why? Well, they're too proud, for one thing. They've been hurt a lot. And so why should we join these Christians? They beat us up. You see, they need a very special grace to come in. But their suffering is one of the reasons why everybody else is coming in. And there will be the day, as Paul says as he goes on with his letter, there will be the day when they will come, and it will be like life from the dead, alluding to Ezekiel and the dry bones. It will be like life from the dead. And the whole world will rejoice and honor God. So that's the way this section 9, 10, 11, that's how it begins. If my memory is correct, we're going to have 11 now. We're going to skip all the tough scriptural arguments and just get to 11, where he praises God for the wisdom of his plan.